greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus again. Blessing to have a fresh new morning again. Everyone's here rested, ready for another good day. You know, for those of us that have been here the last couple days, it feels like just another day in a long weekend, but it's Sunday. It's Sunday. Praise God. Day of worship and seeking after God. So this morning, I'd like to attempt to walk through a Christ-centered courtship process, getting into the actual nuts and bolts of what happens in a courtship. And this is one of those places where I'm going to give an outline, but at the same time, I really do not want to create a box. And I don't know how to talk about this without, it feels like you create a box, but that's not what we're aiming to do. I wanted to connect here again with the uniqueness of every person, every couple, every situation, and being able to have, I don't know, can you say flexibility with clarity? There's just the need for that, as we have found it. Some of the ushers are handing out some papers. There's a front and a back to this paper. I plan to go through both of them this morning at different times. The goal of handing out the papers is you get to follow through this information. I've been very aware that I have given a lot of information in a short period of time, and on this one, I have had people share with me a year or two later, I have no idea what to do. I mean, what if someone came and asked for one of our young daughters, and I have no idea. And I become aware that, okay, all these things we say, we don't just easily retain in our minds. So it's helpful to have something laid out a little bit. Thus, the danger of creating a box has just gone up several notches because that I hand out a paper. So please. Could we all rise for a word of prayer? Dear God, this morning as we are gathered here, we ask for your Spirit, your presence, your power to be here. We're here to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, thank you for the blessing of being able to see our undoneness, yet mercy on us, leading us to repentance and to relationship with you. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of gathering together as your people, as saints, in fellowship one with another. Lord, thank you for creating such a thing as local bodies that can function together and be a support and a help and an image of you here on this earth. Thank you for creating each one of us in your image and our desires we could reflect you here on this earth. We ask, dear God, for clarity in each one of our lives. So what you would have for us, what your will is for us. As we look at courtship this morning, we pray, dear God, that you would bless each young person in this room with a clarity going forward. For those that won't be married, pray, God, that you would bless them with a fruitfulness in being able to have a fulfilled life serving you, Lord, and being effective in your kingdom. Lord, establish our goings. Direct us and guide us, dear God. Show us the way here. I ask you to guide my mind this morning. Help me through these details and all. And just, I want to express your heart, Lord. And I need your grace, need your Spirit, need your guiding hand. Would you come and give us just the freedom and your blessing here in this service? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A Christ-centered courtship. And I'm calling it the process because there's a sense as I look at the whole series, I would give a Christ-centered courtship the overarching title of the series. But then this is actually the process of walking through that. What I've been saying the last couple of days or yesterday is in preparation for what I'm going to be talking about here this morning. A Christ-centered courtship starts with a young man and a young lady who have their life centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are clearly under authority. And then Proverbs 18:22, which I've shared several times, becomes a true blessing. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. This is God's plan. God saw everything that he'd made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What a joy to have the favor and blessing of God on our lives. But many do not experience that as they look at companionship in life and getting married. What we see around us is all messed up. But God has a plan that has blessing, blessing, blessing. I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. This is a similar scripture to Mark chapter 10, which we read yesterday. But this morning I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 19 and read verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he, Jesus, he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And I'd like to just pause a little bit. Jesus gave the answer. Didn't you read that God made man male and female? Then he goes and says, because of that, because of the male and female that God created, God said that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And that right there has thrown out divorce. Leaving and cleaving in Jesus' teaching here is throwing out divorce. They twain shall be one flesh. He goes on explaining, wherefore, they're no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, don't let man put asunder. And he continues, and they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. He's going back to the beginning again. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. Then in verse 10, I want to notice this verse. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Okay, I just got done telling you that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. But now Jesus is responding to the Pharisees here, and he's explaining to them leaving and cleaving, and it means just that. You leave your father and mother, and you cleave to your wife. You don't pull apart. You cleave to your wife. This is scriptural principle. You don't get to, after a while, say, well, I don't think I like her anymore. She's offended me in this area, and just give her a writing of a bill of divorcement. Said, no, you don't do that. God didn't create it that way in the beginning. And it was so strong that the disciples said, well, if this is the case, it's not good to marry. And at the beginning of looking at this courtship process, I'd like to just bring the weight of that home for us. So that we look at it and say, okay, this is not a light matter. This is serious. It's not try it and see if it'll work. It's not a teasing matter. It's not a joking matter. It's not children's play or filler conversation. But good marriages are the foundations of solid homes and a strong church. Good marriages are the foundation of solid homes and a strong church. Where you have a good, strong marriage relationship, you will see a home where children are secure, children are at rest, children can prosper and grow. And yes, there's a few more details, but if you take that away out of the home, you can do everything you want. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. The husband and wife relationship is to be an example of Christ and the church. And if there's a good marriage relationship, we look at it and say, why do you want to get rid of her? A Christ-centered courtship. So we want to follow God's plan in God's way. And we will get God's blessing. We will get God's blessing. So, a Christ-centered courtship involves what I label as two different periods or sections. A Christ-centered courtship has a courtship period. It also has an engagement period. And I see them a bit different. And as we look at a courtship process this morning, we will be talking about discerning the will of God. So the courtship part of a Christ-centered courtship is focused on further discerning God's will. Is this the way the Lord is leading? And there's a whole process in that. There should be a focus on serving the Lord Jesus and of the set of our attraction to each other. Is the final step in discerning God's will, do our convictions blend? Does our vision blend? And a certain amount of our interests in life, do they blend? I talked about the falling in love thing yesterday and the trap it can be. We're not wanting to go about it that way. But have our focus on what we believe, what we're looking for in life. We're moving forward with commitment instead of feelings. And I will say, as convictions blend together, as vision blends together, as goals in life blend together, feelings will begin to establish themselves. If they don't, that is a concern. To engage in social and spiritual activities leading to engagement and marriage. That's the reason for a courtship period in what I call a Christ-centered courtship. An engagement period starts with a young man asking the question, will you marry me? And getting an affirmative answer, yes, I will marry you. Now we're engaged, we're committed for marriage. We're moving through a process here where the relationship begins and it's moving forward, and we're at a place where we have peace to say, yes, let's proceed forward here. From this point forward, you begin planning your wedding. Engagement should be viewed very seriously. Let your yea be yea. I'm not here to say that it can never stop after engagement, but let your yea be yea. I'd like to put strength behind that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I'd like to just step through several things here this morning. Number one, with a question. How do I know when to wake up? So I was talking earlier about a preparation sleep. And I was saying young people need to take this whole thing of marriage, put it on the shelf, lay it down, surrender it, leave it in God's hands, be under authority and direction, look for fulfillment in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I know when to wake up? I shared my view over the years, and there's a few people that have thought maybe I don't give enough room for those that sleep too hard. I'm not sure where to put that. I didn't struggle with that. Most of us don't, but there are a few that may sleep too hard and need someone to stir the nest a little bit. Like the eagles, they finally push them out and say, fly. How do I know when to wake up? And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So we balance that with 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul said, you know, those that are single have more freedom to just serve the Lord. But God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He knows us. He knows us men are needy creatures. We need help. Okay, man? Is that right? Young man? Need help. That sort of already puts this thing aside if I need someone to serve me. No, I need help. And the way we think about it matters. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now it never tells us when Adam came out of his deep sleep and how that all happened. I don't know. Was God right there when Adam woke up, and had Eve right there when he woke up? And we don't know those details. But it says God brought Eve to him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So Adam was very aware that God had taken a rib out of his side. And I don't know if he's still having pain like we would. I mean, if we had one of our ribs taken out and then we meet our wife right then after the surgery, we would be moving pretty timidly. I've never had a rib taken out. I had another surgery, and it would seem to me a rib would be more severe than what I experienced. Anyway, it was all God's thing. Maybe he had no pain at all, but he was aware that she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Adam had become aware that he was alone. The animals were male and female, and he was alone. So while Adam is sleeping, God is preparing a helpmeet for him. And I say here, God woke Adam up. Okay, the Bible never fully says that, but something happened. God caused him to go into a deep sleep. He came out of that deep sleep. And when he came out of that deep sleep, he was met with God bringing him a wife. God brought him Eve. So God is the one that very clearly gave Adam a wake-up call. Would that be okay to say? God very clearly gave Adam a wake-up call. So how do we know when to wake up? Well, wait on God's wake-up call. And this is where I've gotten the comment, well, what about the ones that sleep too hard and they don't hear the voice of God? I'm not sure what to say. I'll let you all figure that out. But considering some ways that the wake-up call may come, first we need to sense our need. I'm alone. I have a need. And I'd like to stress this. I have a need. If I have a want, you know, I probably am headed for some trouble. But if I have a need, God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make an help meet for him, someone to help him. He needs help. I need to sense my need. I'm the only one. I don't have a companion. There needs to be a seriousness and an earnestness in our hearts about this need. This is a weighty matter. We need to be in preparation in our hearts so that we can hear the voice of God. We can hear the voice of God. So we can hear God's wake-up call. If we're not prepared adequately, we may have a hard time hearing the voice of God. We may hear our own voice and go about to establish our own things if we're not adequately prepared. God may speak through our parents. God may speak through our parents. God may speak through church leaders or our spiritual authorities in our lives. God needs to affirm it in our hearts if it came through parents or spiritual leaders. I'm not one that encourages a young man to go forward without an affirmation in his own heart. This is the Lord leading. Being prepared. God took the woman out of man. Now there was male and female. Adam immediately caught on. He immediately caught on. There was no more sleep in his eyes. I think he was wide awake. And next was the desire to leave father and mother and to be one with his wife. So, as a young man, I made a few comments. I was accused of making a few I didn't make. But then I've seen people make comments. As a father, I've heard comments. And then all of a sudden they go away. What happened? Well, all of a sudden there's an awakening. Oh, yes. And I embrace this. Some of that's okay. If you're a young person, I would encourage you don't make extreme comments about what you will or won't do when it's your time. At the same time, I'm going to give you some space to just be so surrendered that people say, well, I'm not sure if he or she will ever even want to get married. And then all of a sudden the switch flips. I think the switch flipped for Adam. He woke up. And you've seen this happen. He woke up. So number two, discerning God's will in courtship. Discerning God's will in courtship. You want the blessing of God. So everyone involved in discerning God's will in courtship needs to be able to give their blessing and confirmation. They need time to seek the Lord and pray concerning this matter. And I would like for you to take your sheets and turn it to the side that says the beginning process of a courtship. A young man, I trust we are having conversation with our youth. This can flow with that over time. If we're not, by then we need to sometime have a sit down. And fathers, may I just share with you, if you're not having one-on-one time with your young people, this will be a little hard, a little difficult, a little awkward. But if you have one-on-one time where you talk with your young people and you share hearts, you're communicating, you're asking your son, you know, what are you sensing? Where are we at? You're talking about his preparedness. What is God's will for your life? Then this conversation will automatically flow into that, where you're talking about a life companion, the future in marriage. He's talking with his parents. And I would say a greater percentage of the time the young man will have some sense of leading as to how God would lead him. Parents, dad should be asking, so what, you know, make that list out ahead. And as you draw closer to the time where you're sensing as a father, it's clear to move ahead, you should be asking questions like, so how are you feeling? Where you're at? What are your burdens? And you're connected with where your son is. Same thing should be happening in a young lady's life, in a different perspective. But let me continue. So in that process, there comes a time where I think a dad should be asking, so are there any young ladies that you would look at that would be, your heart would be drawn to, that you could see an option that fits what you're looking for in life? And I'm going to just simply say, you may have more than one name and possibility. That's not a bad thing. But don't go forward at that point. Let God lead and direct. This is what we're sensing, God's will. Other times, it's just very clear. Well, there's many that would qualify, but here's where I'm sensing the Lord is leading. It is needful to have that place of rest. Encourage young men should take time to fast and pray. Prayerfully seek direction from God. Stay under authority in this time. There are young men that struggle with having a sense of direction, and it may be that your parents can help you with that and guide you. You sense a need, you have a desire to be married, but you're not sure which way to go. Your parents may be able to help you with that, but it does need to connect with the young man's heart. You should confer with your elders. This can be on various levels. I have seen it where elders were involved in giving even direction and suggestions. But as an elder, I view that one as more at the bottom. But where there's clear direction in your heart, in your life, your parents are clear, you go and confer with your church elders. Get their direction with it yet. Get another affirmation. Some people view this as restrictive. I view it as another blessing you can have. How many of them do we want? We can add them up. And when our wedding day comes, it can be blessing, blessing, blessing. A young man should not start letting his heart go toward a young lady until confirmed clear by all that are involved in discerning the will of God. So, stepping down to the next heading here, a young lady's parents seeking direction from the Lord. I missed the line here. When the young man's authorities are clear, this includes his elders, he connects with her father. And you may do this a little different. I'll give you space for that. But he contacts her father. Now the young lady's parents are seeking the Lord. They've been in conversation, hopefully, with their daughter. They know where she's at. They know what her heart is. They know if she's prepared. They take this young man and consider the Lord's will here. A young man coming and asking is in a very vulnerable place. He has sought the Lord. He has prayed. He has fasted. He has affirmed with his authorities. And young men, please, don't come to a young lady's father with a message of any sort that this is the will of God and now I'm asking for your stamp on it. We are further affirming the will of God. So a young man has come saying, and as a father of a young lady, you will want him to have sought the Lord. You will want him to be very serious about it. You'll want him to have fasted and prayed about it. But then, as parents of a young lady, we need the liberty to do the same thing. After all, I just got done encouraging young ladies and young ladies' parents to not go ahead and pursue that before the young man comes. So now, maybe there's been 2 months, maybe there's been 4 months, it might be a year or more that this young man has been praying about this, discussing it with his parents, and has gone through a process to be at rest and at peace. It is time to ask. Okay? What if they need a year? Usually that's not the case. But to bring it into perspective, we can feel impatient because now we're clear. Well, give space for her parents to be clear. Give space for them to find out who you are. I think if the parents are looking at it and from what we see it seems clear, they should continue to communicate with the young man, ask him questions about himself, ask him about his walk with God, ask what he believes, find out where he's going. Something that I did not give you this morning, that I also have in my computer, is a whole list of questions that I'm going to ask a young man when he comes inquiring for one of our young ladies. Our daughters. I want to know who he is. I want to know what he believes. And I don't know how it is at your house, but I'm just going to tell you at our house, it is easier for me as a father to feel clear than it is for my wife as a mother to feel clear about giving her daughter to someone. Therefore, I have on this paper, both parents must be clear. That this is right. We feel good about this. We feel safe. After all, mom's the one that has invested many hours in this young lady, preparing her for the future. She understands the place of a wife and mother in the home. And can I just say, young men, you know, this whole thing about authority structure, and I'm getting to more of it later, but you may feel as a young man you're on the test. You're getting scrutinized. And can I just say, you're not her authority until you're married. Go into it with that mindset. You're not her authority until you're married. So open yourself. Be willing to be found out about. If it's unclear with her parents, or they ask for a waiting period, they need to communicate that. They need to be honest. I would say if they're asking for a waiting period, he should understand what the waiting period's about. He should understand what the waiting period's about. But if it is unclear, you just look at it. And as parents, you know what your daughter wants, what she's looking for. You know what she needs, and this is not a fit. I would encourage you to be very respectful and kind. This young man has put his spiritual life on the line, seeking after God. And we don't want to destroy his faith. There may be needs in his life you're very concerned about, but I am encourage you as fathers of young ladies to mostly refrain from talking about them. Keep this one more general. maybe talk with his father. Communicate with his father, maybe even before you talk to the son. There you could share more freely. Here's things we're looking at. Depends on your connection and relationship there. But dad, would you be there for your son? This is where we are. He's going to be hurting. We don't want to destroy his faith. We love him. We want him to be able to go on and to go forward. Have a caring heart. And the reason I have this in here is because it happens. It happens. This is a vulnerable time. When the parents are clear, they give the okay for him to write a proposal to her. And here again, you may do this differently. The parents share this proposal with the young lady. And here again, the young lady needs time to seek the Lord, to fast and pray. She may need a day. If she needs a day, it's because this has been on her heart. And hopefully, as parents, we've helped her to lay it down and just let it rest. Now, just to be honest with you, I know what it is to have a daughter look at her parents and say, "He really did ask." You say, "Yes." If you haven't prayed, you say, "Well, I know my answer. I know that. I also know where it wasn't as much that way. And she's going to need some time. She's going to need some time." Maybe she had a circle of young men that would be options, but it's not singled down. And she's going to need some time. You know, and we're just not in charge of how that all turns out. And I'm not even going to attempt to try to explain why this turns out differently for different ones. What I am going to do is encourage you young ladies, don't press in seeking God as to who your life companion is. Be in a place of surrender. You'll set yourself up. She may need a day, she may need a week, she may need a month, she may need more time. But the young lady needs time to seek the Lord and fast and pray. When all is clear, she can write a response. You could do something like, okay, a phone call. Something where there's an affirmation. It can be that the dad connects with the young man and says, "Okay, things are clear, and you can have a call and you can begin a conversation." And I think it's good to talk with our young ladies what they like. How would you like to respond? And you know, we've had it, and I can't remember all the details of all of them, but I know one of the responses has been, "Well, I have this letter from him. I'd like to respond back with a letter." And then we have a phone call. And then we arrange the first meeting, which the first meeting should be arranged by the parents at her house. It can be an evening for both families to be together, rejoicing. We've done things like have a special meal together. It's a good time to arrange for the young couple to actually have some personal time together, sharing together. But something that I put here on the right-hand side that I feel is very important for us young men, the young man is asking her parents for their daughter. The question comes up about who should have how much say in the courtship. Who should give direction in the courtship? Who should lead out in the courtship? Well, remember, the young man is asking for her. Take that posture. I have seen in our circles fairly repeatedly that young men have a sense that they should be leading out in the courtship, and there's a place you should be. But You're asking for her. You're asking for her. Because of this, her parents should have more influence and interaction during the courtship with the couple. Remember, her price is far above rubies. Take that posture of being under authority. Making courtship guidelines. I feel this is very important. Making courtship guidelines. This meeting should include both sets of parents and the young couple. Her father should lead out in this meeting. Even if you're a father, that this is your first time, and his parents have done this before. I've watched that become sort of a sensitive spot where her parents want to take a place of, we don't have experience in this, and I want to encourage you fathers, step up. Step up. Take the lead. Share your heart. Don't lay aside your inside feelings. And if you come there as parents of the young man, bring with you a respect for her parents. Bring with you a preferring of her parents. Think about it from their point of view. Have the young couple share what guidelines they desire. Have both sets of parents share their guidelines. Compile what everyone shared into practical guidelines for the courtship. Discerning God's will in courtship. I think I am going to continue here to number three, courtship guidelines, which is on the other side of your paper. And I'm just going to start with a very basic one here, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And with this, I'd like to say, I think that is a right, respectful way to just conduct ourselves in general, in society, as a church. But when we're focused on a courtship, we're looking at a young man and a young lady focusing on whether they're compatible to come together for marriage, committing to come together for marriage, and it's a transition time between marriage, singlehood, and marriage. So there's going to begin to be things going on in their lives at some point here, emotionally, that begin to draw them together. And when you begin to touch and handle each other physically, there are things that God has put within us as people that at some point will just kick in and take over. Can I say it that plain? And then a young couple ends up somewhere they didn't mean to go there. Therefore, he says, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And you add that up together in a courtship setting, the safest way to abstain from all appearance of evil and possibility of getting into fornication is not to touch each other. The world looks on and they say this is foolishness. There are Christian people, young people, parents that look on and say, that's extreme. But young people, can I go back to what I shared yesterday morning about our own courtship experience and the blessing we had coming to our wedding day, having never handled, touched each other, even held hands? We didn't hold hands right walking down the aisle. We didn't know it makes a difference in your stride as to whose hand is on top of the other one. You can look at that and say, what a silly mistake. They're pretty ignorant. That's right. Let's enjoy that. What a blessed innocence. And you know what we don't have in our closets? Skeletons. We don't have an accusing finger in our marriage relationship about things we did in our courtship. And I'm here to share with you, you can have the same thing. God is no respecter of person. I promote this. I got to see as a young man the blessing we had, and began to hear the woes that others had that didn't follow these principles. It burns in my heart. I want to tell you as young people, you are not created for courtship. I have that on this sheet you're looking at multiple times, and I want you to settle that in your heart. You are not created for courtship. Therefore, these courtship guidelines are going to hurt sometimes. I can tell you that's okay. That's okay. As a dad, I actually like to see that it hurts. Especially toward the end. I don't want that too far up here. But when we get to the wedding day, I've heard many a dad say, it's time to get these two married. Well, after you're married, you'll understand that term. Because the pain level is high enough on the emotional draw together that it's time to cross this bridge. That's good. So bear in mind, these courtship guidelines are here for our protection, for our blessing, for our safety. We are not strong enough to just handle this. Many a young couple has attempted that. Be under authority. Be under authority of her parents. Be under authority of his parents. So, let's just step down through here. I need to keep moving here. I'm going to take too long. I love this subject, though. You can probably tell. This is dear to my heart. So bear in mind that families are different. Courtship circumstances will vary. So number one here, agree on a hands-off courtship. Both need to agree and help each other with this. And we need to answer the question up front, right away, will we shake hands when we meet each other? I have heard this interpreted different ways, and I am going to attempt to respect your different variations, but my wife and I chose to not shake hands. And at this point, all our children have chosen the same thing. To not shake hands. And some will say, well, especially when it's a distance courtship, which we're in our second one like that, and he comes from a distance to our house, and you're going to meet each other, and he comes in, and he's shaking everybody's hands, including her sister's, but he won't shake her hands. What an awkward moment. Okay, I'm going to give you a little space for that. Yes, there is a little bit of awkward with it, but we can view that as we have a reason, we have a purpose, we have a cause. And we are intentionally doing this. And yes, they may have met each other before and shook hands, and now that they're pursuing a relationship, they're not. How weird. No? You can view it, we are intentionally following clear principles that removes all question where we are as a couple in preparation for our wedding day. So what is touching? If you're fully committed to hands-off courtship, in heart, in spirit, in principle, you probably don't need this defined. Until emotions have built. Then you might need it defined. You might need it defined. What is touching? So I put down here, if you feel the pressure of contact or body heat, consider it touching. And that comes down to how tight do we sit beside each other. I'm human enough that I know from experience that just sitting real tight against each other begins to do things. Especially in a man's heart. I think a young lady's heart too. So consider that touching. Consider that touching. So when you sit, have a space. And in our discussions often, you know, it's like, well, so can we define that space a little bit? And we like having the young couple involved in that conversation. And things like 4 inches or 6 inches, we hear that kind of thing in our conversation. And we come down to, okay, here's what you should attempt to do. And, you know, at the beginning, before the emotions are high, that's when you make that decision. And then the parents are there to help that happen. I have seen in a living room setting where the young couple puts a child between them. Nice. Nice. You might not have those opportunities. But just practical things like that. So how close will we sit or stand? Let's continue to number 2. So here, the young man should take the lead in the relationship, in building the relationship. He should lead out in following courtship guidelines. And young men, I'm just going to share with you, put on a mindset that when emotions begin to build in the relationship and this gets stronger after engagement, you need to view it that you have the responsibility to stick with the guidelines. A young lady, when emotions get really hot, can I say that? Becomes vulnerable. And you need to view it as a young man, I am here to protect her, to care for her, and to lead out, we're going to do what we committed to do. And let me just share with you, if you don't do that, she is going to struggle respecting your leadership. It'll go right directly into your marriage. So she may almost be egging you to do things you shouldn't because she's vulnerable. You need to take the lead. You view it that way. I need to take the lead. I need to be responsible in following the courtship guidelines. You need to stay under the authority of both sets of parents. There is nothing more miserable for a young lady that is under the authority of her parents than a young man that bucks her authority. Let me just share with you, you're not going to win her heart. If she's under her authority the way she should be under her authority, and you're bucking her authority, you're going nowhere. Because she is tore. And that doesn't feel good. So young man, you need to be under the authority of her dad. You may come in a room like this. I know we have situations that have various conditions in spiritual authorities and parents and all of that. And I'm going to defer those discernments to the local leadership to make application. You can never explain them all. Time together. This will vary. If it's local, it may be once a week. It may be every other week sometimes, depending on the situation. Length of time, an afternoon and an evening. I've heard of an afternoon or an evening. And I encourage us parents to be mindful as to what is happening in this relationship. One of the things that we have seen that I haven't said before is when young people get a little bit older, they are often a little bit slower, especially on the young lady's side, in moving into a relationship. And there actually may need to be a need to encourage more interaction. But we can quickly tell. You see a young couple that is 1 or 2 months in and you're like, whew! Sometimes in a week, like, this one's sailing down the road somewhere, there needs to be a dad that just nicely pushes the brake. Slow down. But there may be the time when you need to say, okay, we need to make more opportunity to do things together. We need more interaction here. And young people, can I just share with you, don't take one against the other. Well, they could, why couldn't we? Please. Don't do that. And as parents, let's have a heart that is there to help them and guide them through to a good place. We don't want our young couples getting married with, I'm so glad to get out of this house. We want them to want to leave. But there should be with it, this was a blessing. This was a good thing to be in the house with mom and dad. Don't make it miserable for them. And push the brake earlier if needed to. Pushing the brake at the end is very miserable. We're not made for courtship. Get to know each other's families. Most of our time together should be with other people, with families. I don't know if you have this, I expect you do, but I call them extra events. In our community, there's a lot of family, relatives, interactions, things going on. So how many family gatherings do they go to together? How many birthday parties do they go to together? And I just encourage you, make some guidelines. When things get really sort of heated, there can be a reason to get together very often. But remember, you're not married. You're not married. It is good for him to meet her family and maybe some extended family. It's good for her to meet some family. That's good. But we need to be reasonable about it. We need to consider what is happening in the hearts of these young people. Make yourself some guidelines. Look at, and this will vary every time. Look at your situation and be real about it. Number four, hold back on the emotional relationship, especially during the courtship time. Hold back on the emotional relationship. We tell our young people, don't be exchanging endearing words one to another. That feeds emotions. Until after you're engaged. Because if we are saying the courtship time is the final stage of affirming that this is God's will, we don't want our emotions going in lots of different directions. There is going to be disappointment if a courtship stops. There is going to be disappointment. But the more emotionally we've let ourselves go, the deeper the hurt and the pain of that. Let's not go there. There needs to be a confidence that builds. So hold back on the emotional relationship during the courtship time, and even in engagement, be real. Allow it to progress. You want it to progress. But be real about how far your wedding day is away. Be real about that. Remember, we're not created for courtship. Focus on building a spiritual relationship first. Make yourself a list of doctrines and convictions to discuss. And I'd like to say with this one, if you give a really nice, rounded list to a young man as her parent, you get his response. We like to give his answers to her as she looks at this. Well, you know what? He needs to know her answers as well. So we've encouraged our couples to take a list like that and go through it. Talk about things. Take one or two at a time and talk about them. Find out where you are before engagement. Discuss things. Go further than just spiritual things. Talk about your likes, your dislikes. A sharing time. We have struggled with what to call this time. At our house, we call it a date. Even though I'm very opposed to the whole dating idea. If you have a different word for me, I would love to hear it. Sort of struggled to come up with just a practical word. But there needs to be a time when you're together that you can sit down and just have your own interaction. We like to see devotion shared together in this. Hearts sharing. Sharing what you believe. And just having personal time. This should be semi-private. It should not be behind closed doors or in the dark. But it can be in a room where the door is open that people can come in. And depending on your situation, it will vary how that looks and where it's at. But it needs to be a time to share heart to heart. And I will say it is difficult for this to happen with if there's a lot of interruptions or eavesdroppers. That brings a... There needs to be a respect to have some space. then share with your parents later what you've talked about. That's a blessing. And I'll just say, young men, the young ladies outdo you on this one. And it is some by just their natural talking and sharing. But I encourage you, young men, share with your parents. Talk about things. Additional communication. Are there other times to communicate other than our time together? And again, this is going to vary. It's going to vary on the situation, whether it's local, whether it's long distance. It's going to vary on the young couple. You know, my wife and I, we wrote letters through snail mail. That was tough. That was really tough on my part. I'm not so good at writing. I do better typing. But back then, I didn't even have an email. But email is another way that you can communicate. And especially on long distance, we encourage or give space for our family for them to exchange an email in the middle of the week. And on weekends, when they're not together, we give them a 2-hour phone call that they can have, that they do the same thing that they would if they were together. You make it applicable for what works for you. Texting. You know, there was a point that I just sort of like, all texting should just be. Because when in an emotional relationship, it can just go on and on. How do you find a stopping place? So the best thing to say is don't start it. Just don't start it. Because it can just go and go and go. I have on here, maybe at the end, in making wedding plans, that it may be okay to exchange some texts. But keep it to a minimum. Keep it to a minimum. Now, something that we have done, technology keeps advancing, or we keep learning a little bit how to use it in a good way. We have established a texting circle where both parents are on it and the young people are on it. And like right now, we have a long-distance courtship. When he communicates that I've arrived safely at home, the whole group gets it. We all see everything that's said. And that has worked well. And that circle communicates more than just the couple. It's actually a communication for good communication for the whole circle involved. This last courtship is the first one we have done that. I can feel good about that. It's functioning well. And, you know, if things start being said, parents will see right there. It's right there on your phone. We know what's happening, and we can give clear direction to it. Driving alone. Driving alone, not long distance. We have made parameters like up to 30 minutes or a 1-hour trip. Not in the dark. If it's a longer trip, we've just simply said there should be a chaperone for the sake of clarity. If it's in the dark, there should be a chaperone. And sometimes that's a little inconvenient, but that's okay. That's okay. Maybe you say you're not comfortable with the 30 minutes. I'm going to leave it flexible. But you need a guideline. Communicate about it. Talk about it. Make a plan. Going to church together. I don't know how you have it here. Back home, we allow him to come pick her up on Sunday morning. I don't know what you do. If you don't do that, I'm not here to start that. Can they sit together in church on Sunday morning? This has been a conversation in our churches back home for years. And it's sort of come to a place of rest that, yeah, they can sit together on Sunday morning, but they will sit with one of the families. And I would say if you do that, you need to communicate as to which family to sit with and how that all works out. And in that, you're sitting in a church bench. Parents, daddy, mommy, please, if that's the case, don't make them sit real tight in a church bench because we hardly fit. Don't do that. You watch over that. Lead out. Don't put them in that uncomfortable situation. In church, I put in capital letters with an exclamation mark behind it for a reason. Remember your friends. Remember your friends. You've heard it. Well, he or she is just gone. They don't care about me anymore. Okay? There is a shift in focus. But please, don't just desert your friends. Don't get so inner-focused on this relationship when you're in church that you don't notice your friends anymore. You will need them later. You will need them later. They don't like the feeling of just being dumped. I think we all understand there's an adjustment, there's a change. But remember your friends. Leaving time. The young man needs a time when it's time to leave her house. And I would encourage you, make that something that you make a time right up front. The further you go in the relationship, the harder it gets for him to leave. So be clear. Then as a father, you need to be engaged in helping that happen. Helping that happen. So maybe you close the evening out with a song and a prayer or something. I don't know what happens at your house. But if leaving time is, say, 10 o'clock, don't wait till 10:15 to make that happen. But rather make it 9:45. I don't know what happens at your house, but maybe I'll just expose us. When it's time for him to leave, it tends to be that she wants to walk with him out to the car and tell him goodbye, and somehow that can take some time. Just saying. I mean, spiritual-minded young people that love the Lord, that are under authority, and all of a sudden that just ends up taking time. And it's one of those places where daddy just needs to come back. Okay? You know, I really like how much you like each other, but we'd like to stick with what we agreed. You know, here's what we should be doing. And, you know, just encourage them. Bless them. Encourage them. Don't scold them. It's very natural what's happening to them. And don't resent it. I told you at the beginning some of these guidelines are going to hurt. And we're talking about things that are going to hurt. You know, let's keep sticking with the guidelines. Your wedding day's coming, and you can have each other to the field. Just take courage. Let's keep pressing through. How long should a courtship be? How long a courtship do we want? I feel this needs to be talked about as well at the beginning with flexibility. Because at the beginning, we're looking at a courtship, and we really don't know how the steps are all going to unfold. Circumstances will vary, like distance and how well we know each other. I would say a short courtship is 4 to 6 months. I would call that a short courtship. And I have on my paper here, preferably not over a year. You know, this whole list I put together years ago, and I keep adjusting it as I go. And I'm looking at that, and I didn't adjust it. But depending on the circumstances, if it ends up going a little over a year, I am more minded to give space for that than I would have been before, just because of seeing different relationships and how they progress. But discuss this at the beginning. What are our expectations? And I have on here, this is our view again, that, you know, it's nice to have 3 to 4 months after engagement to plan a wedding. And a young man should ask the parents of the young lady for permission to ask the young lady to marry him. You know, they know where she's at. If she's communicating, she's talking, she's sharing, they know where she's at. What we don't want is a rushed decision where she feels pressured. Well, I want to say yes, but I'm not quite at rest yet. that can lead to an engagement that falls apart. Because she does need to be at rest. She does need to be at peace. For a young lady, she's looking at a relationship where she's to be under authority. And that's a serious thing to consider. That's a serious thing to consider. And if she's not comfortable, she shouldn't be pushed into it. So communicate with her parents as a young man to find out where she's at. And they can actually help you and aid you in that all happening. There can be a plan together. What happens? That's happened back home numerous times. And with, I don't know how you do, we didn't do anything special for our engagement. But, you know, within reason, I think it's okay to make it special. I don't think we need to take a trip to New York City or somewhere and do some fancy kneeling down thing in front of a fountain in so-and-so place like you see people doing. Do something with meaning that fits into a Christ-centered courtship. And talk about it with her parents and your parents. Talk about it. And parents, if something goes off in a direction that you're like, oh, I'm not sure about that, just share that. Talk about it. You want it to be free and open and blessed. And number 12, this is what I call the crowning guideline. Keep it under loving, watchful authority. Talk with your authorities regularly and receive their guidance. Receive their guidance. Engagement, the courtship should build to a point when it's time to be engaged, and then the young man, when he's clear, asks. Then there's a wedding being planned. And I would like to just say a few things about the wedding. Don't consider the wedding day the bride's day. Don't consider the wedding day the bride's day. Don't make an exotic wedding day. Don't make an exotic wedding day. Please, don't have surprises on your wedding day. Things that are unapproved. Things that are step out of what is appreciated. I don't know if you have this here or not, but I sort of suspect you have some of this. We do back home where, you know, you want it to be your day. You want it to be special. Well, make it special without stepping out of what's appreciated. Keep it in a reasonable way. Consider it a church event. This one has really gotten conversation at home. So if it's a church event, then it should be a gathering like this where the church is invited just like a Sunday morning. And in our community, that's a challenge because of all the relatives and weddings get so big. It's, what do you do? How do you handle this? Hopefully you don't struggle with that here, but as the church grows and there's multiple churches, and that just gets more difficult. But consider it a church event that is planned by the family. So I am at a place where I view it as a mixed event. It is a church event, but it is planned by the family. You do look to the ministry to be here to perform the wedding ceremony. It wouldn't go real well without that, would it? But when your leaders are here and they're squirming with discomfort over what's happening, that's not a blessing. You want blessing, blessing, blessing. Plan a Christ-centered wedding. You want a wedding day where the courtship you have lived, the life you lived in preparation for that, your testimony as a couple comes as a crowning witness and message for that day. And then plan a wedding that matches that, and it's just beautiful, the message that goes out. And back home, we have relatives come, that some of them not born again, living in different places, living a different standard of holiness. We have neighbors come. It is a good time, just like a funeral, where the witness of the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can go forward. But if it's our party, that just all stops. That just all stops. Your life testimony will carry the message in the atmosphere of the day. Pray, 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 pray about your wedding day. That God would come, that the Spirit of God would come, that God would be the witness there. The name of the Lord Jesus would be made beautiful. That the focus ends up on the Lord Jesus Christ and not just on the couple. The couple will be noticed. But the life and testimony that we live as a couple has a message with it. Keep yourself under loving, watchful authority. Ask them to watch over you, to guard your emotional struggles. Communicate with your parents. Be open. Be open. And I'd like to say, young people, maybe for you courting couples or engaged couples right now, this is more pertinent, but I want the rest of you to remember this as well. Young couples should not fully give their heart to each other until they are married. And this is part of guarding our emotions so that we can stay within the courtship guidelines and live in purity. And let me just say, young people, you won't fully understand this until after your wedding day. So just trust your authorities to guide you, to help you. At the wedding day, Adam finds his Eve, and Eve finds her Adam, pure and free, with no regrets, no skeletons in the closet, an open heaven of God's approval. The sense of God's approval that we experience as a couple after our wedding day was way beyond anything that I expected. You can have that. Pure and holy, clean and right. You can have that, and praise God, you're not experienced. That's the goal, that you're not experienced. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. You want to come to your wedding day and have the full blessing of God on your marriage. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Let's go after God's blessing. It's available. It's available. God is no respecter of person. It is here for each one of us. And young people, encourage you, commit your heart and life to do what it takes to have this blessing. God be with you.